Harihi Om Sahana Vavatu Sahana Bhunaktu Sahaviryam Karavavahai Tejasvinavaditamastama Virvishavahai Om Shanti 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 Om Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shiva Sarigaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu Chapter 21 Qualities of Sri Krishna Page 19 Srila Jiva Goswami In the case of the Supreme Lord condensed Sundara means that he possessed the body Sangaha endowed with eternity knowledge and bliss without the presence of any other substance. In the case of Shiva, Sundara means that Shiva, Sadashiva, possesses a body which has become very similar in nature to the Lord, who is eternity, knowledge, and bliss. And so, yeah, so Sadashiva is similar like that, because he's coming from the Lord in that, and he is also Purusha. And he takes care of the aspect of destruction, but because in destruction he's dealing with the material energy, so there's that transformation, like the milk into yogurt, like that. So there's a difference, but at the same time as he says become very similar in nature. So in that way, then he's seen in that position, but at the same time as he's different. To 139-40. Now will be listed the amazing qualities present in Krishna, but present also in Narayana and the Purusha avatars. He has inconceivable great energies. He is the form which expands over tens of millions of universes. He is the source of the numerous avatars. He rewards even the enemies he kills, and he attracts the Atmaramas. These qualities become even more astonishing in Krishna. Srila Prabhupada. Krishna also possesses five other qualities, which are manifest in the body of Narayana, and they are listed as follows. 56. He has inconceivable potency. 57. Uncountable universes generate from his body. 58. He is the original source of all incarnations. 59. He is the giver of salvation to the enemies whom he kills. 60. He is the attractor of liberated souls. All these transcendental qualities are manifest wonderfully in the personal feature of Lord Krishna. Srila Jiva Goswami. Lakshmi Shah refers to Narayana, the master of the spiritual realm of Vaikuntha. Lakshmi Shah. That's a far out name. You ever heard anyone's name? Never heard anyone with that name. Refers to Narayana, the master of the spiritual realm of Vaikuntha. The word Adi indicates the Purusha avatars and others. However, it should be understood here, the inconceivable power is present in Narayana, but not the Purusha avatar, since he is their source. As the first Purusha avatar, as the first Purusha avatar, he has a form which spreads itself throughout tens of millions of universes, since that is the function of Mahavishnu, who glances over the material energy. In the compound Koti Brahmanda Vigraha, the word Vyapti is missing. The phrase actually means Koti Brahmanda Vyapti Vigraha. He spreads himself through billions of universes. As Brahma Samhita says, Mahavishnu, into whom all the innumerable universes enter and from whom they all come forth again simply by his breathing process, is a plenary expansion of Krishna. Therefore I worship Govinda, Krishna, the cause of all causes. Brahma Samhita 548. So we see as Narayan has all these qualities, but they're not there in the Purusha avatars. So we see as Mahavishnu, because that's the function, then we see all the universes are coming from him. But we don't see all the universes coming from Garbhodakshaya or Kirudakshaya. But we see as that aspect of how he pervades everything, then that's there. So pervading every universe, then we see Garbhodakshaya, but pervading everything in the universe, that's Kirudakshaya. So we don't see that, but at the same time as we don't see Garbhodakshaya and Karanodakshaya Vishnu going into the universes. Does that make sense? So they're manifesting a particular quality, but Narayan has all those qualities. That's the position as the origin of the avatars applies to both Narayana and the Purusha avatars, and to other suitable cases as well. Right? So there you see is that from them are coming others, because from Karanadaksha comes Garbhodaksha, Garbhodaksha, Kiradaksha, Kiradaksha, then so many of the avatars. Mm-hmm. So that others are expanding from them, that applies to them.
Yes.
Right?
So Maharaj, if I understand correctly, I mean, Narayana, Purusha avatar, and all the avatars, they are all the 60 qualities.
They all have the 60, but we see is that they don't manifest them all.
Yes, but they have.
They manifest whatever, yeah, any avatar has, but while we say Swam says that they only have a part, is they only manifest a part. Because they manifest exactly the same thing, why do you need that?
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? It's just like if you're in the kitchen, and, you know, it's very busy, so you expand yourself, and then your expansion wants to do what you're doing. It's kind of like, you know, hey, I'm stirring that. You do that. No, I'll do this. You do that. You know, so it's not good. So that's the whole point, is they do something else.
Yeah.
Means you could do all of that, but you expanded them to do that part for you. So that's why then it's Narayana who's doing everything. You know? So that makes sense. You know that Narayana, Paro, yeah, Tat. Yeah, like that. He awards the gold, Gatiya Swarga, or other places to the enemies he kills.
Yeah, footnote there.
Oh, footnote 5. Yes, Narayan is the source of the Purusha avatars. The Purusha avatars are the source of the Leela avatars. Right? So in this way, they're all expanding. He awards the goal, gati, of Swarga, or other places to the enemies he kills. This goal is generally not possible for persons inimical to the Lord to attain by any other action except the Lord's. Right? So any other action they do won't get them to that position. But when Krishna kills them, they get to that position. So it's a quality of his, not of theirs.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Like that. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. Yes, usually he condemns them. Because right, they're just regular behavior, they get condemned. But then some of the enemies who come up to that point, then he kills them himself. Then they get whatever that goal. It is said in the Gita, I cast those hateful, cruel, and lowest of humans, constantly doing evil, into repeated birth and death in the wombs of demons. Taking birth as demons, birth after birth, these fools, not attaining my mercy at all, then go to the lowest statuses of life. O son of Kunti. Bhagavad Gita 16:19-20. Attracting the Atmaramas is shown in many places in the Bhagavatam, including the third canto, with a narration of the Kumaras, who became attracted by the fragrance of the Lord's feet decorated with tulsi. These qualities become even more amazing in Krishna, Krishne Kilab Bhuta, since he becomes absorbed in the role of an ordinary human when he appears on earth and yet still possesses these powers. So when Krishna comes, they're even more amazing. Narayan does, it's very good. What we see is that when Krishna comes, it's even more amazing. Even though he appears a human, you know, as an ordinary human, but he still has all these powers. So he's never to be mistaken that he's just ordinary. Possessing inconceivable powers, end quote, and quote, being the origin of the avatars, end quote, are qualities which also belong to Krishna, since he is Swayam Bhagavan, the original Supreme Lord. He is the source of Narayana, who is the source of the Purusha avatars. Whatever is in them must also be within him. Right? Because whatever the effect is it's already there in the cause. One can consult the Bhagavad Sandarbha if one wishes to know about Krishna's position as Swayam Bhagavan. Though the Purusha avatars spread themselves all over the universes in their expansions, Krishna spreads himself throughout Vaikuntha as Narayan expands. Krishna is most astonishing because he awards the goal of liberation, even bhakti, to those he kills. Thus, since Krishna's ability to astonish by his display of those qualities surpasses even that of Narayana, should be also be understood that there is a total lack of these qualities in Shivas and others who are expansions. It should be understood, however, that these qualities are not at all causes of amazement for those who relish Krishna, since they are absorbed in his sweetness. Mm-hmm. Right, so even though Krishna has all these, and because he's the source of Narayan, but it's not that we become distracted by those. So they're not amazing, because Krishna just naturally has this part of the aspect of the sweetness. So we see he'll always use it in that context of sweetness.
Yes.
Right? The Lord appeared in the mortal world by his internal potency, Yoga Maya. He came in his eternal form, which is just suitable for his pastimes. This form is wonderful, for even the Lord himself, in his form as the Lord of Vaikuntha, because of its highest perfection of beauty, enhancing the beauty of all ornaments. Because it is the highest perfection of all beauty, enhancing the beauty of all ornaments. Srimad Bhagavatam 3:2-12. What austerities must the gopis have performed? With their eyes, they always drink the nectar of Lord Krishna's form, which is the essence of loveliness. It is not to be equaled or surpassed. That loveliness is the only abode of beauty, fame, and opulence. It is self-perfect, ever fresh, and extremely rare. Srimad Bhagavatam 10:44-14. Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur. Though these are the qualities of Narayana, they become even more astonishing in Krishna. Krishne Kilad Bhuta. Krishna, like Narayana, has inconceivable great powers. But Krishna's powers are even more astonishing. The Brahma Mohana pastime is an example, in which Krishna produced all the spiritual material worlds in many forms. Though spread through the universes, Krishna is also spread throughout the spiritual world as well. Right, so it's not just that they spread throughout the material universes like the Purusha avatars, then he's also spread to all the Vaikuntha planets. So that means it's even more than them.
Yes.
Right? But then, in Krishna, then manifesting in his human pastimes, like that, he has that mood, then it takes on the sweetness, so now they're even more amazing. Because the other is their grandeur and the greatness, but now it's the sweetness that makes it even better. Though he is merciful to the enemies he kills, he gives them even liberation and bhakti. And though attractive to Atmaramas, Krishna is attractive even to the Lord of Vaikuntha. Right? So Narayan is attractive to the Atmaramas, but Krishna is so attractive, he's attractive to Narayan. Right? So there's always that one step more in Krishna. So even we're saying the 60, we're not even talking about the four qualities that Krishna manifests that no one else does.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So we're just talking about within the 60. You know, I said the 50 is there, the jivas have them, but Krishna has them in unlimited amounts, and the jiva has them in small amounts.
Mm-hmm.
Then the next five, then we see, then the Lord has those, but also Brahma and Shiva have those, you know, and they're able to deal in the realm of the context of the material universe that they're dealing with. Then we have the next 60 qualities, then those go beyond Shiva and Brahma and all that. And so then that Narayan has those, but then we see is that certain aspects are manifest in the Purusha avatars, all of them are manifest in Narayana. But then we see is that these are then manifest in Krishna in even more amazing ways, that the Lord of Vaikuntha is attracted to Krishna. So we just see it just keeps going. I guess it's getting better and better.
Mm-hmm. In Ujjvala Nilaman, it's explained that you can perceive Krishna in 96 different types.
Yes.
Based on, like, these four aspects of Dhirotatha, Dhirotatha, the four.
Right.
In the three places, three abodes, Dwaraka, Mathura, and
okay.
12. And then there are four ways as favorable or unfavorable, those kind of rust things.
Okay. There are also ages, no?
Ages is, this is Ujjvala Nilaman is especially related to Kaishor.
Okay, Kaishor. Okay, so it's not mentioning
other things. And then as husband and paramour.
Okay.
4 into 3 into 4 into 2. 96.
So you get 96 different kinds of heroes. Yes.
Only relation with Ujjwala Rasa.
Oh, just an Ujjwala Rasa. Okay, they're only bringing it up from there.
So all these qualities actually manifest different for different tastes.
Okay, so then the group that was used there wasn't the ages, because it was Kishore, and so then what was that other group of? Because you had the four personalities, then you had the three realms, then you had Parakiya and Swakiya, but then there was the fourth group.
That is Anukula, favorable.
Okay.
Dakshina, the complaint. And then Shata, deceitful and impudent. Fourth one.
And fourth was?
Impudent. Drishta.
Impudent. Okay, so these are moods within the conjugal. Okay. Yeah, because I think those aren't in the general. It'll be the ages.
Yeah.
I mean, in other words, there's four, so it'll always be 96.
Mm.
So it's that in general you have these 96, and when you go into the conjugal Rasa, it'll have 96 still, but it'll replace those four with this four.
Oh.
Okay, nice. Right? So that's the whole thing, is that it comes out so much more special with Krishna than it does with Narayana. Like that.
In the Vaikuntha planets, the devotee worship Lakshmi Narayana.
Yes.
So they worship the 60 qualities of Narayana.
Yes, the 60 qualities.
Without, they can know something about Krishna, but it's not their.
Means even they're worshiping Narayana as Krishna. They're seeing is that Krishna is an expansion of Narayana. So now, if you look at it, that Narayana has expanded. As the Purusha avatars, the Purushata avatars expand, and then from them come the Leela avatars.
Yes.
Now, if you're not talking of Swayam Krishna, then the Dwapara Yuga avatar will be Krishna.
Yes.
But he'll be a Vaikunthamurti.
Yes.
So he may perform the human pastimes.
Yes.
You know, so it has that aspect of sweetness, but he's still an expansion of Narayana.
Yes.
Like that. So then you do have some within the Vaikuntha realm who are worshipping Krishna in these flavors.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
And so then they see, but they still see is that Narayana is the origin.
Yes.
Mahanarayana is the origin. So they don't know Braj. They may understand and appreciate the Vrindavan pastimes or Dwarka, all these other pastimes. And so they don't have a problem with that. Like you see all the Vaikuntha people, they don't have a problem worshipping Krishna and Dwarka or Vrindavan or Ramachandra, like that, because they just see these are all just pastimes of Mahanarayana.
Yes.
Like that. So they may have their specific deity, but ultimately they are worshippers of Mahanarayana, so that grandeur is there, and then they have like the particular flavor of the particular deity that there is their object of their worship. Right? But they don't see that Krishna is the origin of Mahanarayana. So that's different, is that when you're dealing with Swayam Krishna. So that's what it means. Krishna is two Bhagavan Swayam. He is the original. From him expands Balaram, then expands Mahanarayana. Then you get everything else. So they only know up to there. So they only know Krishna and Balaram in Dwarka. They only know that expansion. They don't know the origin of Mahanarayana. Does that make sense? So like that. And so they don't have a problem that all the philosophy will match, but you're just dropping it down.
Yes.
Like that. Does that make sense? Like that. So that's where I will say is that has that kind of flavor of the aspect of Paramatma, because he's the Supreme Lord, knows everything and everything like that. Though they're worshipping Bhagavan. But it's Bhagavan, means you have Brahman, Paramatma, and Bhagavan. Right? But now in these, then within Bhagavan, you can see Bhagavan, you know, that there's a more of appreciation of the Brahman aspect or the Paramatma aspect or the Bhagavan aspect.
Yes.
So the Atmaramas, it'll be the Bhagavan aspect, the Brahman aspect.
Yes.
Right? The Vaikunthas, it'll be the Paramatma aspect. And then Braj will be the Bhagavan aspect. Does that make sense? And so Dwarka will be in between Vaikuntha and Vrindavan. So, you know, because you can always get those aspects. So even as we see Krishna as Brahman, we're seeing in context of Bhagavan.
Yes.
So we're studying Brahman, but in context of Bhagavan.
Yes.
And if you understand that, then you understand how then he will come as Paramatma. So then the treatise on Paramatma. Does that make sense?
Yes.
So it's the same principle.
Maharaj, this particular shloka of Bhagavatam where it mentions Krishna is Bhagavan Swayam, how do these people interpret it if they consider Mahanarayan from whom all the other even Krishna is coming? So like,
no idea. Other than that, I'll take it that Krishna means Mahanarayan. Because one of the Vaikuntha forms is Krishna, so I don't think they have a problem with that. And even because you have to remember, Mahanarayan's in Krishna Loka. You understand? So then from him is expanding Krishna and Balaram and Dwarka. So they'll just take it as that Krishna. So you know, there's not a problem because Vasudev Sarvam Iti, so everything's coming from him. They don't have a problem with that. But they're just taking it, it's the Krishna and Balaram that expanded from Mahanarayan. You know what I'm saying? And then that Vrindavan pastimes is then expanding. Those are expanding also from that aspect of Mahanarayan. So it's all part of Goloka, not part of Gokul. It's just they don't know about that, that's all. Because how do you know unless you can achinta deva deva tattva? You can't get that far. So the philosophy will take them up to that level maximum. Yes.
Mostly people in India consider Lord Narayana source of Sri Krishna. Means they will go to, like, even if they worship Lada Gopal, for example.
They'll go to Vaikuntha. But in this context, you're meaning that Dwarka and Mathura are also Vaikuntha. Right? In other words, you have the aspect where the spiritual world is Vaikuntha. Right? Means it's beyond the material mode, so there's no problems there. So it's Vaikuntha, means without disturbance. So that'll be your you know, biggest category. Then the other is that you're distinguishing between Gokul and then Goloka, because Goloka then will be counted as Vaikuntha, it's Mahavaikuntha. Right? So then that will mean Mathura, Dwarka, and the Vaikuntha planets. Or you're taking it as there's Krishna Loka, because it's all Krishna's pastimes, and that will be Vrindavan, Mathura, and Dwarka. And then there's Vaikuntha, which means where he's manifesting his form, Narayan form, in opulence. Like that. And so that'll be the 24 Vishnumurtis in that expansion there. Does that make sense? So you just have to see the context in which you're using the term. Does that make sense? So you do see when they're talking about Gokul and Goloka, they just say Goloka, then it means like Krishna Loka. It just means Krishna's pastimes. But if they say Gokul and Goloka, then you understand as they're counting Dwarka and Mathura as Vaikuntha. Because there is that touch of majesty.
Narayani has always four arms.
Yeah, it's generally how he's cool with four arms.
And Lakshmi?
Yeah, she'll have four.
Only four. Everybody has four.
Why, you want more? Four is a good number. You can be doing something and you still have some hands free. Right? Imagine, so you can still text and do you can cook and text at this. You can drive and text at the same time.
Yes.
Like that, they don't have a problem.
Yes.
Does that make sense? Yeah. But they only have one head, so Brahma, he wouldn't have a problem. Right, so, yeah. Yeah, so that means that he would be sitting in the driving seat, right? Two hands in front, his main head in front. He can watch the sides. The one in the back, then, with the other two hands, can be doing the texting.
Yes.
Right? But then, the problem comes is then the guy sitting in the back seat, if he's looking at him, then Brahma can ask him, what are you looking at? Right?
How many minds?
Huh?
How many minds he has? Because if you
He has one, but he can function with four heads. You can run it in four heads.
Concentrating on tears
at the same time. It appears so. I mean, the quality has to come from somewhere. I mean, it wouldn't be ideal, but...
But if Shiva's driving, he could just do it up top. He's got the
He's got the one up at the top. Or he could open the sunroof.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, get some fresh air. You know, put on his sunnies, you know.
How they talk simultaneously?
They can. Yeah, the four Vedas are coming from the four mouths. Yeah, well, Ravana, he has, you know, his 20 heads that can all sit there and talk and discuss. He's there in the middle, and then the other heads expand, and then they're all expert in different branches of knowledge. So someone will give, you know, he had a discussion on about Sita, you know, because he wants to keep her. But all the other heads said, don't. Because, you know, according to Niti Shastra, this will happen. According to, you know, the other Shastra, Dharma Shastra, this will, so each head has its own thing. Mm-hmm. All of them say, give Sita back. But he says no. So he's the boss.
Huh? Who's he among those 20 heads?
The one in the middle. Yeah.
Evidently the dumb one.
Yes, evidently the dumb one. That's how you know. Which one is that? The one that's dumb. Yeah.
The one that doesn't listen to reason.
Yeah, yeah. I'm not sure if he would. I wouldn't say that too close.
No.
Because by the, I don't know what. Because
then I wouldn't have a head at all.
Yeah, yeah. That's the whole point. It's because there is this system of, you know, the Japanese have a name for it, where you unsheathe the sword and cut off their head and in one move. It's not you pull out the sword and then you cut off the head. It's just in pulling out the sword and then you put it back. You know that technique. Oh, okay. Yeah, I use it all the time. Really useful at the university, right? You know, yes. All those pesky professors. Yes. As Mohini, I'm not sure if that's it's not the name of one of the 24, but she generally stays in the yes.
It's called in a material realm only. This is not there in the spiritual world.
Yes, so her place is. In the seven coverings of the universe, in the seventh pradhan, or the avyakta, that's her place. It's the biggest of all of them.
It was in Briya Bhagavatamrita.
Yes, in Briya Bhagavatamrita, it's the four, that's the last covering, like that. She's worshipped there, so that's her place. Yeah, so there's a few that just like Arjuna, that form you only see within his pastimes in the Ekapada. You're not in Vaikuntha. For instance, it is said, the Lord appeared in the mortal world by his internal potency, Yoga Maya. He came in his eternal form, which is just suitable for his pastimes. This form is wonderful even for the Lord himself in his form as the Lord of Vaikuntha, because it is the highest perfection of beauty, enhancing the beauty of all ornaments. So no matter, yes, it's good. Whatever ornament you put, the ornament gets better by being put on Krishna. So it's just another way to manifest his beauty. It's not that it makes him more beautiful, he makes the ornaments more beautiful. Like that. Srimad Bhagavatam 3.2.12. Lord Mahavishnu said, I brought the Brahmana's sons here because I wanted to see the two of you who appeared with your Shaktis. Having killed the demons, the burden of the earth, make them quickly come to me. Srimad Bhagavatam 10:89-58. To 41 to 43. The four extraordinary qualities possessed by Govinda alone are as follows. He is He is a wave-filled ocean of the most astonishing display of pastimes. A wave-filled ocean. Never forget the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. Right? He is surrounded by loving associates, decorated with incomparably sweet prema. He plays sweet notes on his flute, which attract all the minds in the three worlds. He astonishes all moving and non-moving entities with the beauty of his form, to which there is no equal or superior. Interesting is how the other qualities is that, you know, he's very great, he's powerful, he's this. These ones then have all kinds of, how you say, secondary nouns explaining how, you know, so it says, he is surrounded, you say, he is a wave-filled ocean of the most astonishing display of pastimes. Not just, he has great pastimes. You know, it's like. His extraordinary qualities are his special pastimes. His devotees endowed with abundant prema, the sweetness of his flute and the sweetness of his form. So that's saying it in the short form. Mm-hmm. Like that. Srila Prabhupada. Besides these 60 transcendental qualities, Krishna has four more, which are not manifest even in the Narayan form of Godhead. What to speak of the demigods or living entities? They are as followers. 61. He is a performer of wonderful varieties of pastimes, especially his childhood pastimes. 62. He is surrounded by devotees endowed with wonderful love of Godhead. 63. He can attract all living entities all over the universe by playing on his flute. 64. He has a wonderful excellence of beauty which cannot be rivaled anywhere in the creation. Right, so that when we say creation here, we mean all four padas, not just meaning the material world. Srila Jiva Goswami. These will be discussed when illustrations are given. The four phrases describing Krishna are Bahu Vrihi compounds, with a possessive sense. At the end, the author repeats the four qualities in summary. His first quality is his lila. Secondly, accompanying him is an abundance of dear devotees filled with prema. Prema priyadikyam. Right, so he has the pastimes one, but that's done in association with his devotees. Sweetness of his flute is the third quality. The sweetness of his form is the fourth quality. Having listed these qualities, the author boldly asserts that these are most extraordinary, out of reference to some particular knowledge which was previously stated.
Does this imply that the devotees in Vaikuntha aren't filled with prema, or they're just filled with a lesser degree of prema?
Let's look it up. The first thing, he's surrounded by loving associates, right? So they'll have that prema, decorated with incomparably sweet prema. So that's
still,
where will be the difference.
Still prema, but it's just not.
Yeah,
not
it won't. It won't level. Be have it means incomparably sweet. That's braj. Sweet, that'll be dwarka. But then, you know, decorated with prema. He is surrounded by loving associates decorated with prema. That'll be Vaikuntha. Like that. Because there, because of the awe and reverence, it won't take on the sweetness. And then in Dwarka, you'll have some aspect of sweetness there. But it won't be incomparably sweet.
Right?
As we see, like in Brihad Bhagavatamrita, then when they made the Nava Vrindavan, When they took Krishna there, and then Krishna started acting as Krishna in Vrindavan, not Krishna in Dwarka, then you see is that, I think it was the, who's the old, somebody's mom? Huh?
Mm-hmm.
Not his mom.
No.
Kamsa's mom.
Yeah, Kamsa's mom. She got freaked out. And started, you know, going to run out to go to Krishna, and everyone had to grab her, you know, because she'll ruin the whole thing. Yeah, Padmavati. Yeah. So that would be. Yeah, it's like his grand aunt or something.
Krishna?
Yeah. So it's just that it's so much sweeter, it's so much more attractive. Mm-hmm. Like that. You know, the queens and all that were a little bit more reserved. Mm. You know? So. that's the whole point. It's incomparably sweet. It's so much more. But it depends upon the surrounded by these loving associates. That's the whole point. It's because of their that sweetness of the how they see Krishna, then he reciprocates that way. Because that is his nature. So these are, in other words, he always is surrounded by it. Has the so in that position, then he always does those associates to match there. When he expands to Dwarka, he'll have his associates to match there. To Vaikuntha, they'll match there. You know, into the material world, then he'll have associates to match there. Right? Because God, Karana Daksha Vishnu has his associates, Garbha Daksha has his, Kira Daksha has his. You know, when he takes as the Manvantara avatars, then you have the demigods there. Like that. So in a sense.
Yeah. Everything is personal.
Yes, yes. Everything is personal. Yes.
Can you say that Lakshmiji, she's attracted to Krishna also?
Yeah, everybody's attracted. It means Narayan's attracted, and actually Lakshmi will be attracted.
Mm-hmm. So because of these four qualities, which are not present in Narayan?
Yes. Mm-hmm. But they still can't function in those pastimes because they won't give up the attitudes that they have that make them who they are. Lakshmi won't take part in Braj pastimes because she still thinks of Krishna as her husband. You know, so that's all. It's not. It won't happen. Doesn't mean they're not attractive. Having listed these qualities, the author boldly asserts that these are most extraordinary, right? Out of reference to some particular knowledge which was previously stated. Though the forms of Vishnu and Krishna are non-different, according to the statements of scripture, Krishna's form is shown to be superior because of his rasas, which are endowed with the highest type of prema. The very nature of his rasa shows Krishna's form as superior. Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu 1259. Very funny. Out of reference to some particular knowledge, right? It's, you know, it's a shloka. It's his shloka from before, right? Like that. Because when you get into this realm, where is it going to be seen? So that's the thing. It's revealed through that devotion to Krishna, and then one's able to appreciate. Then you can see the shastras are saying these things. 2144. Translation: the 64 qualities in four divisions will each be described with examples. Srila Prabhupada. Why does it have translation there?
We should have deleted this.
Book. Oh, okay. So it's not that this is a different one than the others. So it's just...
It's a mistake.
Okay. So it's just you're going back to the translation as opposed to the commentaries. Okay. That was Rupa. He was translating something. Okay. Srila Prabhupada. Adding to the list these four exceptional qualities of Krishna, it is to be understood that the aggregate number of qualities of Krishna is 64. Srila Rupa Goswami has attempted to give evidences from various scriptures about all 64 qualities present in the person of the Supreme Lord. So attempted means they're unlimited. So you're just giving something, it's just giving a drop, just so you can have an understanding. Like Lord Chaitanya is telling Sanatana Goswami, the knowledge is unlimited, so I can only give you a drop. But from that drop, you can understand. You know, it's just like if you have a drop from the unlimited ocean of bhakti, it means from that drop you can see the qualities, the characteristics, and then you can appreciate. Like that. So in the same way is that this knowledge of Krishna is 64 qualities, is unlimited. So he's saying he's attempted to. He's giving us something so we can get an idea. It's unlimited. So means this book could go on, you could have, you know, hundreds of volumes, and you know, so Ananta Sesha is still talking about it. You know. And
plus it's ever expanding, so whenever you write the book, even if you could get to the extent it's
then we get more. Like Prabhupada said, I think somebody asked, so Krishna's so powerful, can he create a mountain he can't lift? And Prabhupada said, yes, and then he'll lift it. Like that. Srila Jiva Goswami. These four divisions are the first 50 qualities, the second 5 qualities, the third 5 qualities, and the last 4 qualities, right? So these are the four divisions. For the four classes of qualities, examples are given by quoting authoritative statements. These are from scriptures, commentaries on the scriptures, testimonies of the great devotees following after the scriptures, and statements in agreement with those. Right, so anything that means all these points is starting from scriptures, commentaries on the scriptures, testimonies of the great devotees, and then statements that are in agreement with those other three.
Mm-hmm.
Right, so you see it's going to be in the same principle as Manu has given, that you have the Shruti, then you have the Smriti,
yeah,
right? Then you have the great personalities, and then you have, you know, how it applies to you. It's always going to be the same principle. So the scriptures means the authority of the scripture. Statements in agreement, I mean the testimonies of the great devotees or the commentaries, that's going to be how the great personalities have commented on those.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So they write commentaries. Before the smriti means it's discussions on shruti.
Yes.
Right? Like that. And so it's the same principle. Then the great devotees following after the scriptures, so that means our leaders, our acharyas, our great personalities would then comment on that. And then the statements in agreement with those. And so then for ourselves, we always consider what we would apply to ourselves, what's in agreement with the other three. Right? So that's the descending process, or the deductive. Because if we use the inductive, it means in the beginning we may be attracted by. The acharyas are never using the inductive. We may be attracted by it because we only know ourselves. And even that we don't know. So we're even impressed that they can point out who we are, right? We're the soul, not the body. And so like this, we start up. But at some point, then one has to have that faith. Then you start to see it in from the deductive angle. Does that make sense?
Regarding the scriptures, I was asked that we have Srila Prabhupada books. We have the books of acharyas. I know so many devotees are writing books also.
Yes.
Especially on Prabhupada, but different ones.
Yes.
So what's the need for those ones?
What's the problem with those ones?
I didn't ask that question.
Yeah, when they come up with these. But anytime they come up with a need that you can see it's kind of like you're...
Not really need. There was just... do we have to read them, or it's optional?
Oh, if it's like a matter of reading them, that's another thing. But if it's a matter of why they wrote them in the first place, okay.
Regarding, that means my
answer was for.
No.
Why are they writing? You know, everything's already there.
No. I think the mood was appropriate.
It's just a matter of if it's in some area that is there. No, but otherwise, if you just read Prabhupada's books, you're fine. Like that. And if you have time or that, or you hear about these other ones, then it's nice. It just expands on that. That's the meaning of here. These are, and statements in agreement with those. In other words, those books, as long as they're in agreement with the other three, then it's there. So we see is that the acharyas, it's going to be in line with what the smriti has said, which is in line with what the shruti has said. The only problem is we don't understand it. They, being transcendental, they can reveal that. But whatever we're dealing, that's where Prabhupada uses the term relevant instruction. We're simply trying to make those instructions of the acharyas, you know, what Srila Prabhupada's given, relevant to the particular individual or audience that we're dealing with. That's what we do. We're not going to, you know, come up with some great Mahavakyas. We're going to, you know, that's how you say. Yeah. Others have that disease. You know, the Hindus, they love to do that and stuff. You know, and in the West, they also come up with their things like that. So the point is we just speak what they've said and make it relevant for the person there. It's not that our knowledge, oh, we know something they don't know. It's that our system's better. You know, that's the weakness in this contemporary approach of trying to play down the Vedic cultural recommendations and say that being, you know, that we're not from India, so it doesn't apply to us, and so we have a whole different approach. That means then you're in this fourth position, but not according to what Jiva Goswami says here, the acharyas say. It's not following in the footsteps. It's their own idea. Does that make sense? Right? Yeah. So that becomes the problem, because then the difficulty is that then we will, you know, we can make mistakes, we can have so many other problems that will come up. That's why we always keep in line with the Shastra and make those Shastric points relevant. So that's fine. They can say, oh, well, we're trying to make it relevant for the people. That's great, but they're not using the Shastra for that. You know what I'm saying? So that principle that they want to make it accessible to the modern man, that's fine. But the problem is they're doing it in disregard to the Veda. Right? They'll say the philosophy, but even that they won't even get so much, because it says one should always be chanting and this and that. And then you have sadhana. Right? You know, it's very strongly said, Prabhupada was saying, that in explaining the Raghunuga Bhakti, it has two features, internal and external. So external means you're following the as listed, Vaidhi Bhakti, very rigidly. Doesn't say no less, it's rigidly. Because in the beginning it won't be so rigid, but as you go it becomes more solid. So you're following the Vaidhi, the rules, rigidly. But internally you're following in the footsteps of that devotee in Vrindavan that you have an inclination towards, or those devotees in Vrindavan. Does that make sense? So externally it will look like a sadhaka. You know, like a Vaidhi sadhaka. Mm-hmm. But internally then it'll be a Raghunuga sadhaka. Does that make sense? So this idea is, we don't have to follow that, we have our own thing. So the only one that says we don't have to do that, it's just the mood, is the Sahajiyas. They're the only ones that flat up say that. Like that. And it's just, so we have to be very, very careful. Otherwise, then, if we step out of this consideration of these four, then we're on our own. And on our own means you're controlled by the modes. And you can't guarantee what's going to be proper and what's not. So it'll be rather haphazard, that something may be correct and something not. And so, you know, that's why the science of devotional service, you know, Bhakti Rasa, is the science. So sticking to that, I mean, does that make sense? Otherwise, it's just it becomes. That's what that Rupa Goswami, you know, mentions about. If it's not according to the scriptures, it's a disturbance to society. Because then it's just a matter of who's better at rhetoric and who's got a louder voice. I don't know if you have it in other cultures, but specifically I've noticed it's an American phenomenon. That's where I've noticed it the most, or they're most obvious about it. Let's say you're having a conversation that gets a little bit heated, or heated in the way of it becomes very personal, not in the way of that you know your mother wears army boots or something like that kind of personal. The kind of it's your value, and so then when they start arguing, then a lot of times the argument is won by whoever will talk louder. The one is starting, you know, it's just like the normal conversation would be one person would say that. It says, okay, you've said like that, but consider this, and go off into that. And that's, that's very intelligent, but you didn't, what about this point? And then they can go on like that. You know, that's, you know, culture. But here it may start like that, but as soon as it gets like, you know, your attachment, then it's whoever they just one starts talking, the other one talks louder. They actually talk quicker and louder. It becomes obvious. You know, no, bye, bye, bye. And even they're saying nothing. They'll just make noise just so that you can't talk. They have nothing to say. No, but you're why you? They'll just do that. And if they can say words, then you know it's even quicker. Like that. Probably Spanish does this.
The Parliament did it too, didn't they? Weren't they famous for just yelling back and forth?
Oh yeah, yeah. Well, that's just yelling. But this is that. But they're saying stuff. This is a thing where you don't have to even be saying anything. You just have to make noise, and it's louder than the other guy, so he can't talk. You know,
this is also in India. It happens in India also.
Okay, so it's just universal. A general phenomenon. It's a universal principle. Okay, so this one is just then whoever's better at that can win. And it has nothing to do with logic or what you said or anything like that, or etiquette or, you know, knowledge. It's just you're more attached and you're willing to, you know, create. I guess it would be a uncultured form of stonewalling. Yeah, like that. So, I mean, that's one of the parartas of Gotama. You just say things. You know, it doesn't matter if they have any meaning or not. You just talk.
Filibuster.
Yeah. Okay. So that's the whole thing. But it has to be according to statements in agreement with those. And these other three: scriptures, commentaries on the scriptures, and testimonies of great devotees following after the scriptures. They don't say stuff on their own. So,
yes. When other, like, not about disciples, but others, they write books. And I'm talking about devotees only. However, to verify whatever they've written is in line with the Shastras and the previous Acharyas, we ourselves have to be more knowledgeable about what our Acharyas are written. And
yes, it means it's natural that you're going to always work within the context of the scriptures. But the question here was whether... whether we need to read those or not.
Yes.
Point is if we stick to reading Prabhupada's books nicely, then we're good. Then if there's time to read other things, because in Prabhupada's books, he will recommend other books.
Mm.
If you want to know more on this subject, he's talking, he says, you know, Brihad Bhagavatamrita. It's about, you know, the devotees, the devotional process, you know, bhakti itself. So he'll mention a few books, but it's not that many. You know, because generally whatever is there, he refers to it. Because he's using all the commentary. When he, you know, how you say, translated Srimad Bhagavatam, he's using all the commentaries. And then giving. Because you can see it's when we're going through, and the acharyas are mentioning, it's not that Prabhupada hasn't said it. It's just that we didn't know that that's what he was saying. You know, he said it so pleasantly. And now that we know, he said it in this common way. I mean, not a common way. A way that a common person could understand. While, let's say, what Jiva Goswami, others are saying, unless you're, you know, a grammarian, you won't understand. Like that. You know, because that generally, you see, is most of the time the grammatical things are dropped. Because in, you know, at least in English, it doesn't have any meaning.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So, yes.
In history, we can see that when some people, for example, Christians, try to make Christian theology more accessible for Roman people, they try to adapt it and wrote some books about Greek philosophy and Christian theology. And finally, they got results that Christianity become more mundane because people accept only ideas of ideas of Greek philosophers into Christianity and misplaced things. And my doubt is, should we also try to do it? Because sometimes we see that psychologists, devotees of Sri Krishna, try to write books for people how Krishna consciousness can help to solve our psychological problems.
Right.
I wrote books for people who belong to Christian or Islam tradition. My doubt is if it will gain the happen that people will, it will be created some mix between Krishna consciousness and another.
It just depends upon what's your approach. See, the whole point is that. Basically, what's happening is you're taking paravidya, transcendental knowledge, and you're mixing it with some aspect of apara. But just you have to see is what is your purpose in doing that. Like the Ayurveda, it's talking about Krishna, but through the context of medicine. Right? Because it's given by Dandantari, so it can't be, you know, it's not going to be any different than him. Shastra is coming from the Lord. But the difficulty comes is that, and without the proper discussions or commentaries, then we won't see its connection to the Lord. Right? And so then, that's where you have to be careful. Because if it's about people being appreciating Krishna consciousness, you have to show the area that they can relate to, but then you have to bring that to Krishna consciousness. But if we just talk in the area that they can relate to, don't bring it to Krishna consciousness, then yes, we may have shown him some superior aspects of the Vedic culture over the contemporary. But how will they know where that's from? You know, so if you have them as devotees, presenting as devotees, but they're talking on these other subjects, then people start to go, well, devotees know something. Right? And so then they may be acquiring, what are you doing, and what goes on, and it'll take it further. Even if there's not so much discussion outside of that. Does that make sense? But if they're also not presenting themselves as devotees, and they're just giving this aparavidya without connection to the Lord, then yes, you're showing some superior knowledge, but how is that, how are you bringing him closer?
Yes.
you know, does that make sense? Because they're going to take it and interpret it into their modes anyway. Does that make sense? So it's just a matter of what's the intent that's there. If you're trying to show what's the absolute principles or things like that. Because that's the thing, is that the absolute principles never have to be dropped like that to discuss anything, because the mechanics of how anything works is a manifestation of the Supreme Lord. Right? The Lord glances, and then you get this whole material phenomena. Why does it work? Because of his glance. Where is the glance coming from? Him. So it only functions because it's him. So this idea that it's a separate body of knowledge, that's illusion. You know what I'm saying? So when it's seen in the context of, yes, here are the mechanics, you're dealing in these areas of mechanics, here's the Vedic, so the idea is that you're dealing in an area of very speculative mechanics. So we can show you the science, how those mechanics work. Why do they work, and why is it so consistent? Because it's coming from the Supreme. Right? So then you're taking them up through it. But if it's just a matter of you go out and you get lots of people, because it's like the idea of having lots of followers but not being Krishna conscious, that's a bit overrated. This whole idea, no, but so many people come, and if you tell them about Krishna, they'll go away. Yeah, so? You know, it's like, that's like going out and, oh, wow, you know, we've collected this huge, you know, we have you know, a warehouse full of gold ore, all that, you know? And that, and so he says, so why don't you take it and you know, smelt it and make pure gold? He says, oh, but then we'll only end up with like one truckload full. Right now we have a whole warehouse. This warehouse is so important, having the volume of a warehouse. Isn't it more important to have a truck of gold? So that's the whole thing, is that this whole idea is, no, but then they may go away. That's called, you know, how you say, what do you call it when you're, you know, you take the, yeah, sifting something, or you take the, you have the grains and the husks, and then you shake them, and the wind blows, and the chaff goes away, and then the grain drops straight down. So you separate the grain from the chaff, you know, like this. Does that make sense? You know, or the son is still usable, the men from the boys, the adult from the children, maybe. Obviously. You know what I'm saying? That kind of thing is that if you're not moving forward, then what have we done? If you're saying, oh, but I've attracted them, great. Then that's fine. But understand that that's all the more you've done. You haven't given them Krishna consciousness. Because are you presenting yourself as a devotee? Or is this coming from the Vedic background? If not, let someone else come in and now deal with that group and take them further. And the persons who want to go further, they may move out of your group, and it'll be small, don't worry. You know, and then this other person will deal with them, and the people who are left, you can still deal with them if you want. But if you say, no, they're my people, I made them, but you made them for what? If they're not moving forward in Krishna consciousness, what's the value of you attracting them? For what? So if it's just to have volume, you know, that's, how you say? Yeah, it's not, it's a, rather Ionian. Right? It's not very... Someone was just telling me the other day that they were looking at some... they were checking some university thing and some courses. And they went through and looked into something with business. Some corporate aspect. And the funny part is out of 100 points that is being made about the course and, you know, the study, 100 points... then only one actually had to do with economics. And this is a corporate business, latest up-to-date corporate business study. It was all about character and qualities and the attitude and everything that we talk about. But, so if you meet someone who's talking in corporate and they're talking about the money and the mechanics and all that, know that that is from the 80s. Because now in 2019, they talk about what we talk about. Literally, this is on the official school website. So, that's the fun part. You understand? So if you're not improving the character qualities and not bringing them closer to Krishna, then what's the point? You know, nice, you got lots of people. You may get some money from that, you may get some prestige from that, but what does Krishna get from it? It's his scriptures, so unless it brings them to him, what does he get? You know, it's just like someone makes some food, I take the food, I feed people and that, and they all come around and hang out with me because of the food. I never tell them about who cooked it. What do they get? What benefit do they get? You know, I'm not paying them. Om Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivinoda ki, Jai Nitai Gaura Prabhupada.